Good morning. So glad to see you all here today. Glad to have some visiting with us that we don't see a lot often. And Pete and Shirley, so glad to see Pete and Shirley here today. And it's a great blessing to have them with us, and so glad you're here as we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4:24, which is our pleasure and our command. Both those things, you know, they're very, very, very important, these two commands, to worship God in spirit, and that means with fervor, with the right kind of attitude. We're not here because we have to be. We're here because we want to be. We want to serve God. And so in spirit is the idea of the right heart behind our worship. And of course, in truth, it means we worship God only in the way he's commanded us, and also according to the right words, the right doctrine. Might remember back in Hebrews chapter 8, in Hebrews 8, where it mentions that God told Moses to build a tabernacle by the pattern which he gave him. Now, that text is given us to remind us that while Moses was made to make the tabernacle by the pattern God gave him, that we have a pattern that we have to worship God and serve God. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, we see Paul mentions there that those Romans there obeyed the gospel, obeyed the pattern of the doctrine given them. So when they obeyed this pattern of doctrine, they obeyed the gospel and they became children of God by obeying the words God gave, the pattern God gave, from them to become Christians. So we become Christians by the pattern God gives us, not what we think or make up, but by what God gives us. Praise God for that. I would like this morning for a few moments to look at Acts 24. If you want an outline of the sermon, go to Acts 24 in your Bibles. Now, Acts 24, we're going to look at a man named Felix. Now, Felix is not a very common name in our culture anymore, if it ever was. I'm not really sure it ever was a common name in our culture. But Felix, I think of a couple names. When I was a kid, I watched reruns of The Odd Couple, which one of the characters there was Felix. The other, I forget who the other one was. One was Felix. I remember Felix being a name like that. The other name, Felix, I have my memories from a child watching cartoons of someone named Felix the Cat. Remember Felix the Cat? Those are the two Felixes I know, right? Now, the one this morning we're talking about is Felix the governor or proconsul of the area in Jerusalem where Paul was when he was arrested. Now, in Acts 24, you have this, that Paul had become greatly detested by the Jews. In fact, there was a plan among 40 Jews, it says in the text, that took a vow that they would not eat food until they had a chance to and actually killed Paul. Now, among this vow these foolish Jews made to kill Paul, they were serious about it. In fact, they went to the Sanhedrin and said, listen, we have a plan to kill Paul. We want you to know, you Sanhedrin, you Jewish rulers, that we're not going to eat food until we kill him. Now, among this planning, the Apostle Paul, his sister, and her son heard these Jews talking about this. So he went to Paul and said, listen, Paul, there are these group of 40 Jews who are going to plan to kill you when they bring you in to be heard. And so the centurion over them was also told by this boy, because Paul said to his sister's son, you go tell the centurion about this plan. So he did, and so the centurion protected Paul and made sure he had an audience with Felix, the governor of Jerusalem, this area. Now, we don't know much about Felix except that one thing we do know, even his name is not really known. We know it's Felix, but some call him Claudius Felix, and they call him Claudius Felix because he was a slave. This was a Roman who was a slave, and he was set free by his master called Claudius. So it's thought that the one that set him free, he would adopt his name, so it's probably Claudius Felix. No one really knows for sure. But the idea was, this was a man who was a slave that was made free, and then being made free, he became someone in the government that had some authority. So I didn't ever that before. When I read about the lesson, I tried to put this together from the text and trying to figure out who Felix was. So he was one who was a slave who became a governor of this area. Now, again, this wasn't a great position because being a he was a low-level servant, but he was some political faction. But the fact was, he was over Jerusalem, which was not a very wanted position by Romans. So it was kind of like he was kind of like a starter person. He was kind of trying to make his way up, having been a slave, and now he's free. Now he's working his way up inside Rome, and now he was over this area. But having been a slave, and now he's a governor, it seems like he's going pretty far up the ladder. And so he's someone who has, what would you say, as someone who wants to rise, What's the word I'm looking for, Keith? He's ambitious. He's ambitious. And so he's in this time and place. Now, Paul has had a murder plot against him, so Paul now comes before Felix. And if you look in Acts 24 and look, we're going to look at verse 22 and following, but I want you to think of this text in this way, that Felix is a man that to ignore several things to remain lost. As we think of loss, as someone, well, they're not baptized. No, we're lost because of our sin. Then we're baptized into Christ, and then we can walk the way of God to have a home in heaven forever if we are faithful to death. That's how it works. But Felix was a man who had several opportunities to serve God and obey the gospel and live for God, and he had to ignore all of them to remain lost. I want you to think of that in this way this morning. What do we have to ignore to remain lost? What do we have to look beyond to remain lost? Now, this works for you if you're a non-Christian. This also works for you if you're a child of God who maybe aren't where you need to be. So all the things, all the blessings in my life, all the people in my life, all the things in my life right now, if I'm not what I need to be for God, what of those things do I have to ignore to remain in my situation that's not right before God? That's amazing. Now, let's look, if you would, at Felix. Now, when Paul was brought before Felix, verse 22, then when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of our matter. Now, this came to him, and he said, I know about that way. So Felix, a governor of the area, he knew about Christians. He knew there was the way he knew about. He knew about the teaching of Christ. He knew about he had no doubt heard about the resurrection. No doubt he had heard about these Christians that were kind of, as the Jews thought of it, turning the world upside down, preaching Jesus. Remember, in Acts 5, the council brought Peter and John and beat them and said, listen, you preach no more in the name of Jesus. And so when they beat them, they let them out. And what happened was they went and preached Jesus some more. And then they were brought back for the council. And what happened? They said, are you trying to bring this man's blood upon us? We told you, preach no more. Don't preach Jesus anymore, you apostles, Peter and John. And Peter said, you judge the matter. Should we obey God or men? And so they kept on preaching Jesus after they were beaten some more for that. And so that may be in his memory. He may have heard of that. He may have heard of the hubbub around the situation. But now, Felix, who knew about the way, he knew about the way of Christ, and we see what he has to ignore in the following verses to remain lost. Look, if you would, at verse 24. I want you to have in your mind that Felix was in the right place at the right time. He was in the right place at the right time. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul. Now, Felix, a Roman, was married to a Jewess, which made sense because he was governor of this area. So maybe that was because of his marriage. They thought he might work well here, or because he might have married her because he was going to be in the area. I don't know which. I don't know the history of that precisely, but we see that he was in the right place at the right time. He was able to see Paul, and he was able to be in a situation where he was going to hear Paul's case, who has preached the gospel around the world, going on missionary journeys at this time. Paul had given his life to preach the gospel. He was a very well-known, well-respected Jew, taught at the feet of Gamaliel, who now was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, by the way, remember, as Paul writes the Corinthian letter, he tells the Corinthians that he was not very eloquent, nor was he was also very frail looking. So Paul, as a person, was not a master speaker, not his master speech giver, nor was he someone who was very formidable in the flesh. He wasn't young, he wasn't strong, he was an older man, he was kind of frail. But that didn't mean he wasn't very powerful in the word, because he was. So he was in the right time, right place. I wonder, you look at us today here, we're in America, we have the freedom to assemble and First Amendment, right? Freedom of speech. We can gather together, we can worship God, and without being, at this time at least, persecuted by the government, we don't have that, right? Some people may think we're crazy for believing and teaching the word, but the fact is we are free to do it. Right time, right place. There are people all across the world, all throughout history, that didn't have the freedom of worship as they wanted to. In fact, we talked in Bible class a little bit about Andrew Conley, who was a missionary in Tanzania years ago, and he said there that while they were able to come in Tanzania and they were able to do some preaching, they were always under the threat of the government, who periodically went in and would kind of shake down the missionaries, right? It was a socialist government, and when they went in, they knew the government had the power to come in and just put them in jail or take their stuff or whatever. The socialist government had, there wasn't guaranteed freedom of speech or religion in that country. They allowed it, in most cases, but they were always, every day they were there, they were always under pressure. He's mentioned a couple times that that hard time just getting from place to place, because the police or other things would kind of shake them down and try and get some money from them for just being there to preach the gospel. And so there are places in our history, in our world, where very few people have been as free as America is. Even if you're a Roman citizen in Rome at that time even, you had to worship Caesar. You can worship Jesus, especially as someone who was a governor or someone who had, so even at even in Rome at its height, you weren't really free. Even as a Roman, there were rules you had to follow that would impose upon you their view of God, their view of worship. So he's in the right time, at the right place to the gospel. So are you. So are the people in your orbit. So are the people in your life. So are the people who love and know you, and you're a Christian, or you know God, and you are their right time and their right place. Felix was about to hear a sermon by the great Apostle Paul. Paul, by inspiration of God, of course, he wasn't none of his own pen, but by God, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? Two-thirds of the New Testament was written by Paul, who was at one time an enemy of Christ, an enemy of the gospel, until he had his moment when he saw the vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus and went into Damascus and obeyed the gospel there. You see, he was someone who was an enemy of God. And he had to be shown that Jesus was the Messiah. When he was, he became an opponent. He went from a murderer to a ministry. He had people thrown into prison for believing in Jesus. He had separated families, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, they were separated because their parents believed the gospel. He had people thrown into prison. Some died because of their being Christians. Now he was a murderer, became a minister by the power of the gospel. And Felix is going to hear this man's case. And so Paul defends himself before Felix and says, I'm here because I've done nothing wrong, but I'm here because these Jews are kind of crazy, is a gist of what he says. He's in the right place in the right time. Look at verse 24. And he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So number one, right place, right time. Number two, what did he have to ignore to remain lost? And heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He heard Paul preach. Now, we mentioned a while ago that Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament by inspiration of God. And Paul was not physically intimidating. Not that wouldn't even matter to Felix anyway, because Felix was a powerful man. So he heard Paul preach. Paul wasn't very he wasn't very eloquent, nor was he intimidating physically, but Paul was still preaching the gospel. He went around all around the known area, all around country after country, after synagogue, preaching Jesus. And now Felix had him in his presence, and he heard Paul preach. So he had to ignore this preaching of Jesus about the faith in Christ. Now, again, Felix knew about the way, verse 22, but now he's hearing it from Paul preaching Jesus. At this point, there were many, many people who obeyed the gospel at Paul's preaching. I can't give you a number. I have no idea how many. But the Bible tells us when he went from place to place, sometimes there were many that heard him and obeyed the gospel. So Paul had been teaching many, and many obeyed the gospel. So now he has an audience with Felix, and Felix hears Paul preach. Point number three is, the thing Felix had to ignore was that Paul preached a sermon tailored to him. Now, it wasn't generic. It was tailored. Look, if you would, in the next verse. Verse 25. And Paul, that is he, reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Now, this idea of judgment to come, why would that fit him? Because they said that fits all of us. It does. But who is Felix? Felix was a governor who's hearing the case against Paul. He has the power to incarcerate or let Paul go. And now what does Paul preach to him? Hey, governor. Hey, proconsul. Hey, man who sits in judgment. You know who's going to be judged one day? You, because judgment is to come. Judgment is coming for you and everybody else. So he preaches his sermon to a man who's a judge of sorts and says, listen, judgment's coming. And the one who judges is over all. Not just over Jerusalem, not just over Rome, but over everybody, everywhere of all time. He hears a sermon tailored to him. Now, what else does he mention? Righteousness. To a judge. To a governor. He reasons of things that are right and things that are wrong and things of God, righteousness, being right with God. He tells a man that has to hear cases all the time, has to make judgment all the time. And he tells him about righteousness, what makes one right, what makes one wrong, what is truth, what does it matter, what does it even matter, what's going on? Well, there is a standard. If there is a standard of right and wrong, if there's a law, there's a lawgiver. One of the things that's really helpful to think about when it comes to atheism and people who have a problem with God is, listen, is there any objective standard between right and wrong? Is there any at all, is there anything that's truly right, anything that's truly wrong? Anything. Because what you come to is if there's no standard at all, then swatting a fly or mosquitoes, or y'all, when sometimes when And that time when the boys opened the door to go out and feed the dog we have in the backyard, dogs, I guess, right now, at least temporarily. What comes in the house when they open the door? Bugs. We get a lot of mosquito hawks. We get a lot of beetles flying the open door. They open the door for just a second. All these things fly in, and we get swatted and kind of swat them or pop them on the table if they light on something. We do that a lot. And I forgot my point completely. I'm completely lost on my point. Dave, there was a point there. What was it? Who is in righteousness and temperance and judgment? I got it. So those bugs I squash. Do I squash them or do I squash them? I squash them. Crush them. That is of no moral relevance at all. But the thing is, if there's no right or wrong, then squashing that mosquito hawk or that beetle is no more serious than killing a human being. Right? I can put a gun and start shooting up the place and kill everybody in here. That's of no more relevance than squashing a bug. Now, people do that in church all the time. We see more and more there. People are taking guns and trying to kill people at Christian schools or churches. That happens all the time. More than it should, of course. Way more than it should. But you say, well, that's wrong. That's horrible. Why? Because of righteousness. Because there is a right and a wrong. Because squashing bugs, not as serious as, has no equivalence with killing a human being. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. That's why. So he's reasoning him of righteousness and temperance and self-control. That you and I live by standard. That means we should hold up against the evil, and we should do the good and stay away from evil things. We should flee, follow, and fight. We should flee sin and follow righteousness and fight for the right. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. So the idea is, he's talking, the sermon that he gives Felix is about righteousness, right and wrong, temperance, self-control, and the coming judgment. So Paul gives a sermon to Felix about he being in the right place at the right time. That's where he was. Heard Paul preach, and heard Paul preach a sermon right to him. And what happens next in the text? Look what happens next. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for you." Now, what happens here is that Felix has an emotional response to the sermon that Paul gave. Now, sometimes people hear a sermon. Maybe you're here this morning and you just kind of hear it, you're trying to get through it till we get to have some food and maybe go home and you have a day planned. Maybe you have something coming up next that you want to do. So you're just trying to endure the sermon. Well, in this case, Felix had a response to the sermon. He had a reaction to the words being taught. They touched him. He trembled. So what Paul said was, he did not ignore it. He wasn't like, well, Paul's just a blowhard. He's boring. He's an old, frail man. Who cares? He's got a bygone era, and he's preaching a false god. Who cares? No, the things Paul said touched this man. He heard his words, and he heard his reasoning about right and wrong and judgment and self-control. How that's a good thing, and it touched him so much he trembled. The words he heard touched him so much, he trembled. When you tremble? Do you tremble at nonsense? Do you tremble when something touches you deeply? This man was affected by the gospel. And this frail, non-eloquent man's teaching. What comes next? He had to ignore his emotional reaction. And then he had to ignore his second chances. If you would look with me at verse 26. Now, one thing we see in verse 26 is that Felix was a greedy man. He says he hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. So he wanted to bribe. He was keeping Paul in chains, or at least in house arrest, so that he might get money. Maybe the people that were helping Paul as a missionary might offer money to Felix to let him go. But he was a judge looking for a bribe. Wherefore he sent for him often and communed with him. So he kept him around because he was hoping to get money to let him loose. But in this process, he sent for him often. So he had a chance to talk with Paul again and again and again. Why? Well, the root cause was he wanted money. So the more he kept him around, maybe the longer he kept him, the bigger a chance they'll give him a payday to grease his palms a bit to let him go. But because of his greed, that left for more opportunity for him to hear the gospel more and more. Now you and I, none of us are what we need to be perfectly for God. You may be faithful to God, but we all could serve God better and more fully. All of us could. I could, you could, the others could. We could all have room in our lives more to put more God in, to put more light in, to put more fervor in, to put more zeal in for God, to put more service in for God. Sometimes we kind of really fall short to the point we're not serving God at all like we should. Maybe we have a bad day or a bad week or a bad event in our life which causes it to kind of shift away from God more and more. But we all have these second chances. Because as Solomon wrote, one of my favorite passages in Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, he says, where there's life, there's hope, because a living dog is better than a dead lion. Because as long as we have breath, there's hope for us to make a change and do more and do better. Right? We may be awesome, but if we're not serving God, being a lion doesn't matter if you're gone, because being a living dog is better, because where there's life, there's hope, where there's a chance to change, we can change and do more for God. We can maybe be that second chance or that person who is the right time and right place for our friends or family. Or even a random person who bumps into us and sees God in us and sees us trying to be the light that shines in this world, to be the light Jesus called his disciples. They're light, they're salt. We can be that for people. So look at all these things Felix had to ignore to remain lost. Heard Paul preach, this great apostle preach. And then he preached a sermon for him specifically. He needed to hear to understand that there was a gospel he needed to obey. And he heard him again and again and again. How many people? How many people go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and don't make the changes they know they need to make? Maybe morally, maybe bad physical habits, immoral things, a lack of love for God as they should, a lack of service for God as they should, because we all can help the church grow more and do more. And here again and again and again, and don't make the change. Listen, Felix's greatest need was the gospel because of his own personal sin. We all have personal sin that God will forgive us of as we follow him. And our greatest need, all of us, is to have the gospel in our lives, have Jesus in our lives, that we can walk in the light of the season life, 1 John 1, verse 7 through 9. that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you've not been baptized in Christ, that means believing in Jesus Christ, we repent of our sins, we confess Jesus Christ, we're baptized in him, Romans 6, 3 through 5. We're baptized into Christ. It tells us that in verse 5, that if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall rise again in the likeness of his resurrection. So if we've been baptized into Christ, we will rise again like Christ did in the likeness of his resurrection. That's an amazing promise. All of us have the problem of sin. The solution is the gospel. Now, what I'd like to do is have our closing look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 3. Just turn to Hebrews 2 if you want to in your Bibles. Hebrews 2. And listen to what the Hebrew writer says about the cross. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels is steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? It's pretty powerful. He talks about the angel speaking, how the angel speaking had weight, had meaning. Then he chips that to the gospel and says, how shall we escape if we neglect? Now, the Hebrew writer was writing Christians to convince them not to go back to the law of Moses. That's the book of Hebrews. Listen, stay with Jesus. Don't go back to Moses. Stay with the law of Christ. The law of Christ is better. Don't go back to the law of Moses. Don't go back to that. You stay with Jesus. That's the point of the book of Hebrews. So he's writing Christians who are being tempted to go back to Moses. What to tell Christians here? He tells Christians not to neglect the words of Jesus. How shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect the words of Christ? So Christians is this concept that we have the blessing of the gospel. Amen. Blessing, the truth that guides us and helps our have better families, better workplace situations, all these things we can have better by Jesus Christ, live the life of Christ, have blessing of God, be a better person, be a better man. We can have that by serving God and have life everlasting hereafter. That great, fantastic. But you can't neglect it. That gospel you obeyed, that Jesus you followed to become a Christian, don't leave that. Follow, keep on following. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, John chapter 10. Keep hearing, keep following Jesus. Don't neglect that, because if you do, well, he says there is no escape then. There's no excuse, there's no escape. Felix, what did he have to neglect to reign lost? Right time, right place, right preacher, right sermon, right emotional response. He had a response. He trembled. The words affected his heart. In Acts 2, those who were affected asked, what shall we do? They begged Peter, how can we make this right? We killed the Messiah. How can we fix it? Felix trembled, but just said, no, I'll hear you again on the matter. I'll hear you again. And he did, time and time and time again. It's funny, though, don't you think, that it was Felix's sin that gave him the more chance to hear the gospel? Isn't that odd? That his sin in wanting a bribe from this man who he respected, whose sermon touched him, he heard it again and again. Even in his sin, God gave him more chance to hear the gospel. Now, I don't know how that works exactly. Is that an equation? No, I don't think it is. But in this case, his sin gave him more chance to the gospel. Sometimes sin kills us. Sometimes we die because sometimes we do a bad thing and die immediately because a bad thing happened, because we did a bad thing. In this case, though, his greed caused him to hear the gospel more and more and more. And he had to neglect it every single time. The average American household has several Bibles in it. I forget the number. It's like three or four. Some people have as many as 10 Bibles in their home. Usually people have two or three Bibles in their house. That light, that salt right there. And most just neglect it and forget it. And we have churches like this that can grow and be strong, or maybe get strong again if they've been weak for all week. Have that, and the gospel is preached every morning, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, even through the week sometimes. And that's right down. I wonder, do you think? I heard recently that one thing that's the new thing people are scared about, because COVID was a couple years ago, now there's new things they're scared about. One thing they're scared about is avian flu. The avian flu hasn't jumped humans yet. Hopefully it won't, but it's jumped the mammals. In fact, the avian flu, it's killing chickens, right? You know the mortality rate for humans, estimated, of avian flu if it jumps to humans. You know what it is? 60% mortality rate. Now, for you, COVID was like 1%. And we lost our minds over it. Now, of course, you got older, it got worse. But mortality rate for COVID, less than 1%. Avian flu, they think avian flu, for humans, if it jumps to mammals, and it's starting to jump to mammals, not humans yet, though, gratefully, but never will, they estimate 60%. Now, here's a question. Hope you're still with me. You scared? Are you trembling? Well, we've already not really worry about that. But listen, if there was a breakout of avian flu, and let's say there was a cure, you went from 60 to zero of mortality rate. Do you think people would want that? I would. Would you? I would. Sure. I mean, that's zero is a lot better than 60, right? If you're talking about mortality rate, if you want to stick around a little bit longer, I mean, 0% is way better. If there's a cure for that, I want the cure for that. Only off the off chance you might get it. Now, imagine this. There is a fatal disease. It's going to get every single one of us if we don't deal with it. That's sin. And the wages of sin is death. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 6, right? And the healing of that, this cure for that is Christ in the gospel. Felix heard that. Not once, not twice, but time and time and time again. Praise God for his glory. Praise God for his grace. Praise God for his long-suffering for you and I, that we can have this message time and time again to encourage us, to strengthen us. And if we've, in our lives, aren't right with God, have a chance to fix things by God's grace, by God's glory, by the cross of Jesus, by the blood spilled for you and me. Praise God for that. All the things Felix had to ignore to be lost are the same things we can ignore time and time again if we ignore the message of the gospel. So I want to ask you this morning, with Felix clearly in mind, are there things we ignore to be saved? Do we ignore the encouragement of the gospel as we're Christians who remain faithful and be stronger in Christ? To be courageous and to fight the wrong and follow the right? The correct things, the righteous things. Or do we hear the gospel, never obey the gospel? Not really, because we think we don't need to, or it's not very urgent. Because listen, Felix had time and time again, he missed a lot. He had much time, long. We never hear about the gospel, though. That's the problem with Felix. So when it comes to your situation this morning, if you have need to respond to the gospel in any way, if you have the need to ask for the prayers of the church, let us pray with you and for you. If you want to pray a special prayer on behalf of you or a family member or a loved one, please let us do that for you. Let the church be involved in these prayers to God on your behalf, or your family, for your people you love, their behalf. If you have the need to respond to the gospel, to be restored to faithfulness again because you've wandered off, you're not walking like you need, so you want to come back. Well, if you have the need to obey the gospel this morning, you're baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, be added to the body of Jesus Christ. If you have need this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing this hymn?